Welcome to the Licking Connie Locker Room. Here on Kate 98.7, each week we feature a local high school from Licking County, interviewing the athletic director, coaches, players, and more, live at Ship Brothers Brewing on Church Street in downtown Newark. Tonight's show is brought to you by Ship Brothers Brewing, Shamrock Printing, All Star Embroidery, Pew's Designer Jewelers, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Buckeye Games and Flea Market, Park Lanes, Wright Brothers Power, and the Toy Store. Now, here's Brian Mays with the Licking County Locker Room on Kate 98.7.
And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the season opener of the Licking County Locker Room for the 2023 season. We are located at the Ship Brothers Brewing, 23 West Church Street in downtown Newark, and it was a hot one today, so why don't you come on in, get yourself cooled off with a nice refreshment and some great food. We are here to focus on the Granville Blue Aces this evening as we kick off this season, and we'll join their head coach and a couple of players here in just a minute. But so every time we get this thing going on a Monday evening, we recap the previous games from this past Thursday, Friday, and sometimes Saturday. But we will start with the Blue Aces, who kicked off the season with a hard-fought 27-8 win against Marion Franklin last Friday night at Walter J. Hodges Stadium. It was a slugfest in the first half. Both teams' opportunities to score in the first quarter, but a multitude of penalties by both sides with led it to scoreless. And then finally, Granville was able to get on the board with a 30-yard field goal by Noah Music, and that made it 3-0. Then a key play for Marion Franklin on a 4th-and-5 from the Granville 37-yard line, a 32-yard scamper, got him to first and goal at the 5, and their recruit from Miami of Ohio, Tito Glass, took it in from 5 yards out. They got the 2-point conversion as well on a pass to Glass, and with just 32 seconds to go, it was 8-3 Marion Franklin. But Granville had the opportunity, and they took advantage of it with their new quarterback, Beckett Long, able to complete a couple of passes down the field and then scampered to the 27-yard line with 2 seconds to go, setting up Music again for a 44-yard field goal. He nailed through the uprights, and it made it 8-6 at halftime. Starting the third quarter, Marion Franklin looked like they were going to go 3 and out, but they did a fake punt, which set up a 1st and 10 just about at midfield. But the Granville defense, which played stellar all evening, came up with a huge play, and it was Dante Verasso who picked off a pass that set up a touchdown run by Beckett Long. The 2-point conversion went to Noah Music, and it was 14-8. And Granville's defense really didn't let Marion Franklin do anything the rest of the evening. They were able to get a couple of more touchdowns, a 33-yard touchdown pass from Lon to Verasso, and then a touchdown run by Kyle Kirby, who really made his presence known on both sides of the ball, making hit after hit on defense, also getting an interception and coming up with big runs as well for the Blue Aces. That he got himself a touchdown run, extra point was good, and that was your final score, 27-8. So Granville moves to 1-0 on the season as they get ready for their next ball game on the road this Friday night, traveling to Belleville to take on Clear Fork.
We're back talking high school football with the Licking County Locker Room, live at Ship Brothers Brewing in downtown Newark, here on Kate 98.7.
And welcome back, everybody. Happen to be joined by head coach of Granville, Wes Schrader. Coach, as we talked before the ball game on Friday night against Marion Franklin, you talked to me about their physicality and their speed and so forth, and not to tell you guys that sometimes coaches don't tell us the truth, but I'm like, he might be giving me coach speech. But it really was a hard-fought, you know, down-to-the-wire victory for you guys, and I think that's a great opening season test to see where you guys are and where you need to be.
Yeah, week ones are always hard because you don't really know what you're going to get. People can hide stuff, and I agree. It wasn't coach speak. I think we take pride in respecting all of our opponents, give them our best game plan practice-wise. So I think that helped us prepare. And, we knew they had dudes. Like, we could see that on film. It wasn't a secret. So, but we knew if we executed and played our game, we'd be fine. And we didn't do that in the first half, but eventually we got there, and we put them away when we needed to.
In the first quarter, there were a lot of penalties, and each team was kind of shooting themselves in the foot a little bit. But you guys, the penalties did get better. And then I really thought the line of scrimmage, you guys really controlled it after that first quarter for the most part.
Yeah, we did. I think they kind of tired a little bit. We had a lot of work to do up there, but it was good to see us run the ball pretty well. We did. A lot of work to do there, and it was good to see us kind of handle the conditions in week one, and our offensive line kind of take over like that. So it was good to see.
Anything that really surprised you? What will start offensively? Because it looked like, and again, the game plan was to get Beckett, I thought, as comfortable as you could in throwing the football, and there were a couple big pass plays, and then really that running game, as you talked about, it really was established by two of your guys that really found that opening in the middle of the field and kind of driving it. But did you feel comfortable with the mix that you had of the run and throw?
Yeah, well, we did. We know Beckett's a threat with his legs as well as his arm, and it was a pleasant surprise to be able to run the ball pretty well. We found some things in the run game that we didn't know that we were going to have, and we kind of stuck with it. Put drives together, and so we didn't want to go away from it. We were moving the ball pretty well. Anytime you can run the ball well, it's a good thing. So nothing really surprised us. We knew what we were getting. I knew what we were getting with these guys, and With Dante and Mez and Noah and Beckett, and we have a lot of guys, so we knew what we were going to get. It just comes down to us executing and doing things our way. And it was that part of our game plan was to kind of ease Beckett into it. But he's a gamer, and we knew that he plays well on Fridays. He always did in the back end of our secondary last year. So we thought we got to throw the ball more than we did. It kind of came out and surprised us a little bit. Like I said, week one, you don't know. It came out and just kind of played cover one, pressed their guys a little bit, and let their athletes work. So it opened some things in other areas that maybe we weren't expecting to have that we ended up finding later out.
So when it was 8-3 with 32 seconds left, and we talked about this on the broadcast, you're always one that has been aggressive, and you want to get those points before halftime. And I said, well, this will be interesting to see the confidence you have in the group. And there was no change in your game plan. You wanted to score, and it really looked like you've got some seniors here, but it was just that group said, okay, we know where we need to get on the field to get Noah a shot, and really it was executed perfectly.
Yeah, we have a lot of experience doing that, and I think if I coach scared, I think that'll bleed over into the kids, and I want them to know that I have confidence in them executing and doing those things. So, we called the timeout. Looking back, I don't know if it was the right move. I called a timeout with about a minute 30 left. It was 4th and 5 at their 40 going in. I felt really confident we'd stop them, and we did.
Yes, you did.
And somehow I got out of there, and they ended up going down in school. I thought we'd be fine. I didn't think they'd score a lot. I thought maybe they'd get a big play here or there, and that was a big play, and that wasn't the kind of big play I was expecting. I thought we would rally to it, get them down, and we'd have a minute 30 to go down and score. But 30 seconds, they played off coverage quite a bit, so we knew we had some chances at a couple things, and then with Noah's leg, we knew if we got close, we were going to take a shot at it. And it's kind of funny. Dante was right there on our sideline. If he remembers, but I looked at him. I said, "There's 6 seconds." I said, "Are you good?" And he's like, "Yeah, go. Just go get us 5." We threw a pass. They were playing so far off.
Yeah,
they got Noah a little closer. So it was good. That was just, I think, more than anything, it just gave us momentum going into halftime that we needed desperately. So, and we're like, hey, we're good. So,
and you really were in that second half to just complete dominance on both sides of the ball. We're also happy to be joined by a couple of Granville seniors, Dante Verasso and Madison Messner. And Dante, I'm going to start with you. You've gotten some hype in the preseason. Folks are expecting a lot from you at the wide receiver position. Give me your thoughts of how you thought you played. I'm going to go on 2 plays, but give me your thoughts of how you thought you played Friday night.
It was an up-and-down game, I feel like. I was dealing with a lot of injuries, stuff like that, but when I have coaches like I do, I feel like they're going to put me in the right position to make plays, and I feel like that's what happened on Friday, and I was able to make those plays.
Well, one of the biggest plays, I think, was right after the fake punt in that third quarter. They have all the momentum, and you make a play that, I'm going to say, of a game that had a lot of ebbs and flows, that probably swung the game. So talk about that play.
I don't really like taking credit for it. The dude I just did it next to me, Maxton, he's the one that got under it, so the QB had to put it in the air. And I have confidence myself. If the ball's in the air, I'm going to come down with it, and that's just what happened.
Wow, you are pass. Okay. So, Maxton, are you going to take some credit for this?
It was a great play by Dante. When the ball's near him, I know he's coming down with it. He's kind of a ball hawk, and I knew if I could get out there and just have a little presence in the guy's area, Dante had a good chance at it.
All right, I'm going to come back to the play also I want to bring up, but let's talk about how you felt it went in the trenches, taking on a team that I think Coach alluded to did get tired, but were really physical and I think just came in with nothing to lose and really wanted to challenge you guys. So how do you feel you guys reacted to it?
Yeah, they had two stud running backs. It was definitely a tough game. We came out in the first half, didn't play the best, but we came in at halftime. We talked over and we're like, all right, I think we got it handled. And then we came out in the second half and started playing a lot better. So I'm pretty proud of how we rallied. And
Was there a lot of, I don't want to say frustration at halftime, because I think everybody would agree we can play better, but it is the first week, and you guys had some new players in different spots. So was it just more of like, we know we can play better this, and once we do, we'll be fine?
Yeah, exactly. We came out in the first half, we knew we were the ones shooting ourselves in the foot, like you said earlier, and we knew we had a good shot after halftime coming out.
And you guys definitely did. I mean, yep. It was just really was a great job defensively. So, all right. Play number two, Dante, is you've made the play on defense, and now you're going to seal the game on offense with a touchdown pass. So talk about the play call, and I won't say you were wide open. You were extremely wide open, but you beat your guy, and you got to make the catch.
Again, I want to give it credit to other people. The coaches set that play up the entire game by running stuff before it to have that defender bite down like he did, and I was able to give him the double move, and so it got me so open.
What do you see from Beckett at the quarterback position?
He's a baller. I mean, he's a gamer, as Coach said. He's going to come out. He's going to give us 110% every single play. And he has arm talent that he's going to show this season. I think people are going to be really surprised by it.
I was at the scrimmage against John Glenn, and I detected, I don't want to say swagger, but confidence with him. Like, I know I can lead this team. Yeah. Do you sense that with him?
Absolutely. And as a QB, if your QB has confidence like that, it really helps your entire offense go and team go. And just him as a leader is huge for us. And yeah, that's great.
But he's got some pretty good skilled players to throw to. I mean, and Coach, I'm going to go back to you. The weapons that you guys have, and you mentioned maybe it was a little bit of a surprise of the running game, but when you're able to really keep a defense off balance like you guys were able to do in that second half, and you went to your bread and butter, you know, going up the middle to Turby and Muzak, but again, that just sets up when you've got single coverage for guys like Dante. That's pretty tough on a defense.
We try to make it that way. I'm just impressed that you can see that. I'm glad that you can see that Beckett's swagger carries over because it does. If you watch that John Glenn, we make plays. I watch stuff outside the plays, but when we Noble or somebody made a play and he comes out and basically headbutts him with his helmet off because, I mean, he's just, that's how he's wired. But it's just going back, I thought that was interesting that you noticed that from that scrimmage. But yeah, we pride ourselves on, obviously we got a guy like Dante outside that, you know, is going to draw a lot of attention, but it's not one guy. Like, if they're going to double him, then we'll go here. If they're going to load the box, we'll go here. If they give us a light box, you know, we're just trying to find the best way to get our guys, numbers and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So we do. We have really good receivers. We got good players and good people. So it does make it hard. I know it makes it hard on us if there's, you know, more than one guy. And so we try to make it that way.
It's a senior class that's not really big, but you guys have been in a lot of important games. You've won some, you've lost some. But what have you learned, Maxton, over the last couple of years with the success that the Granville program has had, and how do you kind of teach that to the players now who are hungry and want to keep that tradition going?
Yeah, I think when we came in freshman year, we had that senior class, and they showed that they were almost to that next step of making it far in the playoffs, but and they really just passed it down to the next class, and then we went to the Final Four, and I think as us for our senior class, it just showed us like there's a chance. There's a chance for us to make it far, and if you work hard and you know you have a brotherhood and you compete together, there's a real shot. You made it far.
And I don't mean this to be negative at all, but I think that state semifinal was kind of the hurdle, because Granville was always a very good football team, but not really a lot of the postseason success that a couple of others had. And then you'd had the first win, and then you had the first playoff win at home. But to do what you guys did against, I think, Coach, probably the toughest region, that was Region 11 that year, and you guys just handled everybody, and even the state semi, I mean, that was the closest Baden had played or had been challenged really throughout the postseason. Yeah. So just to have that wall knocked down by you guys, that's something you take with you the rest of your careers. Mm-hmm. And I think you should be proud of that. So when you see a sophomore or a freshman maybe not do something the way you want it doing, how do you teach that? How do you correct that so they can get it done the right way?
I think on our team, I mean, the coaches put a lot of pressure on us seniors just to really be the leaders on the team, and if a freshman's acting some way that we don't want him to, then we're the ones that get on him about it, and if he's making a play that we think could be coached better, then we're the ones that going out and helping him out. We know that the players look up to us a lot, so they're going to listen to us a lot.
Now, you play with a little bit of flair. Don't try to shy away from that. You do, and I think that's a great thing to do. So when, you know, you have youngsters looking up to you that see you play with a style, but you also have to tell them to understand, I work hard to get to where I'm at, too. So how do you do that?
Yeah, you know, just as a young kid, when I used to look up to Keyshawn Bonner, Christian Hill, and I saw they all play with swagger, you can see that the confidence that they play with comes from how much work they put in, and confidence is a huge part of the game. I've always stood by that, and just seeing how much work they put in to have that swagger, just you can really see like how it helps you in the game.
This is, I think, a fairly deep team, a deep team for the county, even though it is young. A lot of you guys do play both ways. Do you enjoy playing both ways? You don't want to come off the field? And whoever wants to answer that first, go ahead.
I just always like having an impact on the game in some way, so I don't have to sit out on defense, sit out on offense. I just like being an impact.
I mean, the more we can get out there on the field, I mean, you only get so many Friday nights in your lifetime, so just enjoy every moment.
How about you? I mean, is it a concern to have so many two-way players? But when they're so darn good, yeah, you don't want them on the sideline.
I mean, yeah, as a coach, you're worried about a lot of things, you know, like the safety, make sure they're, you know, they're more healthy and fresh and all that stuff. You know, we ideally, you don't have a bunch of two-way guys, but it's kind of where we're at right now, and that's okay. And we're kids, we played through it. We've done it in the past, so it's if we could have you know multiple Dantes and multiple Mezes, we wouldn't have to do that. But you know, eventually, maybe as a program, we'll get there. But right now, we can win with these guys doing it.
Yes, yes, you can. Now, I want to know who takes on Kirby in practice. Anybody?
He's definitely not. Not many people really want to go up against him much, but yeah, he's a beast.
I mean, he reminds me, I'm going old school, but he reminds me of some Oakland Raider players from the 70s, Spielman and some others from the 80s, where he just loves the challenge. And I know he took on Tito Glass a couple times one-on-one and just relished the opportunity. It just seems like his energy never stops on either side of the ball. Now, was that a surprise for you with his running attack on Friday, or not so much?
Not at all, no. We knew that. Again, he's still young. He's a sophomore. And we want to make sure we do right by him and don't overwork him, but we also know that he's a really special player, and we can use him in a lot of ways. So we can use him as a blocker, you know, a pass catcher, a runner, you know, obviously on defense. So, no, it wasn't surprising at all to see him run the ball well. You know, it's funny that you asked that about who goes, even if we're doing, like, pre-practice stuff that's supposed to be, like, 50%. I mean, kids get pretty upset because he doesn't go 50%. It's just not in his DNA, so no. He always goes 100 miles an hour no matter what it is. So
very nice to see him get that touchdown and also the interception as well off the tip ball. But, yeah, he
did fumble that, though.
He did.
I was giving him a hard time about it before.
Well, and I could see the frustration even on him. Like,
yeah, he was.
Probably because he knew you were going to give him grief about it. So, can we keep you guys a little bit longer if you don't mind? All right, we're going to take a quick break, come back with more here from the Licking County Locker Room as you're listening to Kate 98.7.
The Licking County Locker Room with Brian Mays, live at Ship Brothers Brewing in downtown Newark, here on Kate 98.7.
And we're back with Granville head coach Wes Schrader and a couple of the senior studs for Granville in Dante Verasso and Maxton Messner. All right, so you've got a big matchup coming up on the road, first road game of the season against Clear Fork. The game here last year was a good, hard-fought game, grinding it out. They've got a new head coach up there on Friday. They had a hard-fought victory, 17-14 over Lucas on Friday. It's just Monday, but what are your thoughts?
Very hard fought battle. We won 16-8. They scored late. Actually, opening kickoff, this guy took the opening kick back for a touchdown. You know, it was a good one last year, and it was a good win that kind of set us up. So we're hoping we can play well again and set us up going forward as well. They're big, and they're trying to out physical us, and you know we try not to let that happen very often. So hopefully our kids are up for the task.
When it's this early in the season, and I asked you to coach this before game one, I think it's more important about what you're doing than the opponent. But how do you prepare this early in the season for teams that, yes, you are familiar with, but it's not like a familiarity with a Valley or a Heath or things like that. So how do you get ready this early in the season for those games?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of respect for that team. They have a great coaching staff, and they're always going to come out firing. So, you know, I think our coaches are prepared, and they're going to work us to our limits this week and prepare us.
And of course, he mentions a kickoff, so they may not be kicking off to you or remember that well. So, when you know that they are preparing for you, how do you try to differentiate from that?
I don't do anything different. I know I have three other receivers beside me that can do more than enough to, you know, get us points on the board and get us yards. So I really don't do anything different. I just trust coaches and my other receivers and Beckett.
As leaders for that first road game, what do you tell the youngsters going up for their first contest away from Granville?
I mean, be ready for a fight. They're going to come out fighting, so we gotta respond.
Yeah, we just got to treat them with respect. And, you know, we watched, it was 2 years ago, we went up to Clear Fork, and we love the atmosphere up there, so we know it's gonna be a big game for them, so we got to come with respect and come ready.
Is it still, though, more focused on what you guys do? Because, obviously, you don't want to have the start that you did Friday night, especially on the road. So what can you kind of do to just kind of say, hey, let's just play our game Friday night and not have those penalties and have that kind of start? Because I think that was a little bit of jitters and stuff Friday night. So how do you kind of alleviate that not to have that happen on the road?
I think we should keep our heads. I mean, this happened last year, week one. We came out against a good team, and we didn't play our greatest football. And week two, we started getting better each week, and I think we're going to start doing that here soon.
I think it all starts in practice. We got to have a good week of practice, and you know, last week we had some good days, some bad days, and I think that's what led to our slow start. So we just got to make sure we're locked in every day.
We were joking during the break about the heat this week, but it has gone up significantly from last week when you guys were preparing. So do you change anything in getting ready for that or getting prepared for what could be a much hotter and humid game on Friday? You know I'm going to start with you on that. I have no choice, Dante.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, getting prepared for the game starts now. It starts every single day. But a lot of it is just mental toughness. I mean, they're going through the same thing we are, so we just got to be more mentally tough than them.
Matching?
I mean, he worded it perfectly. I think I credit our mental toughness over anybody, any day of the week, so I'm pretty excited.
Question for all three of you. With the change this year with the OHSAA, with the additional practice time, and I got to be honest, I can't remember all the changes that took place from May up until August, but Did it help in getting preparation? Was there not much difference, or just how you were able to start earlier and then moving into August?
I don't think there was a ton different. Maybe a few more days. It was nice because we did it last year too, so
okay.
We had that same kind of setup. We didn't change much. These guys can speak on that, though. I don't know if you noticed anything different, but
we had a lot of dudes out during the summer, so I guess it was nice having more days just to get readjusted from people missing and stuff. But that's about it. Yeah.
Coach Schrader will get on me about this, but I missed a lot of the summer through other sports, but yeah, I think we're ready.
Well, that was going to be one of my questions, because not to age myself, but it used to be football was 6-7 months, and now you can make it year on if you want to, and I'm kind of glad that you are doing other sports, but. How has it changed, and do you think it has changed for the better? If you're diehard football, I totally get it. But since you just were playing even in Pee Wee later, just the amount of time that you have to spend for this particular sport, it's a lot. So not trying to make it negative here, but I'm just kind of curious of how you guys think it has developed even in your young ages.
I mean, there's nothing like a Friday night. I feel like the more time you put in to prepare for that Friday night, I feel like the better. I feel like there's nothing wrong with, you know, going year-round, like you said. I feel like it's the Friday nights deserve that type of respect.
Okay.
I think football is one of those sports. Those practices are gritty, but nothing beats Friday night with all your best friends, all your family, all your friends in the stands cheering. I mean, nothing beats it.
And how do you feel about it?
These guys said it perfect. Yeah, it's nothing beats a Friday night, and the I give Max some crap, so I support him. He's going to college to play lacrosse, and we're really proud of him for that. Dante's a basketball guy, so we definitely support multi-sport athletes. But once we get later into July and stuff, we're pretty heavy into football. So
right.
It's because we got a game in a couple of weeks, and it's like they said. I mean, you practice far more than you play it, so you really got to love it. You can't fake it. So you're practicing however many days, and you only get a Friday night, only 10 Friday nights. So, and you do it all summer just for those 10 days. So.
Yeah. Well, and I think the commitment has shown for you guys again the last couple of years. Nobody saw the 13-1 coming, or 14-1 coming, and then people thought there'd be a letdown last year, and here you go, 9-3, make it to the second round of the postseason. So you have to think that commitment and effort just carries on year to year, and I think that's what you guys want to leave your legacy is. You want your senior year to be the best it can be, but also for the youngsters to understand this is what you have to do if you want the tradition to continue at Granville.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just watching seniors every year, just watch how they act, watch how they go about practice every day. It really helps us. Now we're in that role, and we're going to do it for the young kids.
It's a team sport. I totally get it, and I totally understand it. But is there anything individual that you guys are shooting for this year? If it's the amount of touchdowns, if it's the amount of tackles, any type of all-league play, or were we going to do the political answer here, which I think is coming, but I'll throw it out there anyway.
I think I got to go on the political side. I think Dante would agree with me. I think our state championship is what we're looking for, and I don't think anything else will beat that.
Yeah, I just want to win. I just want to go 10-0 regional championship.
Talk about the football in the Licking County League. Again, you have some great matchups. You've had some great games with Licking Valley that have come down to the wire. And I think, again, two teams that aren't necessarily buddy-buddy, but you respect each other and things of that nature. But what is it like, especially on Friday nights, when you're playing in the LCL?
You can tell there's added pressure. People in the community really get together for those games. Visitor stands are usually packed. It just means a little bit more, and I think that really helps our team usually.
As much as we don't like them, we got to respect how they always come out every year for us, and I'm excited for that game. That game is always a good time, and I think we'll be ready.
And you are taking everybody's best shot right now. I mean, there's no question about it. It's people circle Granville on their calendar for that game. Home, way, doesn't matter. So I think you guys both appreciate that, too.
Yep.
Coach, you've been in the different parts of the state. We talked about Northwest Ohio and some as well in Columbus. What about what you've seen in your short time here in Licking County?
I It's football's football, so it's I love it. But I think the relationships, any job you have or any position you hold, is what really matters. And this is just listening to these guys talk. It kind of like gets, I don't know, gets me chills because they listen. Like I think they listen to the stuff we're saying, and they're bought in, and that's all you can ask for. And then that makes us want to try that much harder to make sure we don't let them down game plan wise. And you know, this is my first 4-year class. I've had these guys since they were freshmen. Dante's been on the sideline every game I've been at Granville. So yeah, it's football's football. And you know, at the end of the day, it's you know, we have a, I tell people all the time that I think Granville has maybe the best, if not one of the best, atmospheres on a Friday night. We don't have the huge stands, but we pack our stands. We got a nice backdrop. We got a great band. It's you know, they're cooking burgers. There's like, it's just an awesome. Like, just coming out from the hitting facility, walking through underneath the tunnel, our student section screaming. It's really hard to beat. You don't get it anywhere else. You know, I mean, you get it other places. I shouldn't say that, but like, it's our Friday nights are pretty cool. And when we play, you know, a Heath or a Watkins or a Valley or whoever, you know, these guys are right. There is a little added extra because you know each other. So, yeah, I mean, it doesn't take away from the other Friday nights at all. Those ones just might mean a little bit more.
And he brought up the 4 years. And, again, that first year started with you didn't know where this was going to go in regards to COVID and how things were going to change. So did that maybe even give you more you know, desire to practice well each and every time? And because you talked about it, you only had 10. And when that season was going on, you didn't know if you were going to play one Friday to the next or whatever. So maybe that's, we talked about how it's impacted so many people. And, you know, your age group, I'm sure it probably impacted any age group more than what you guys have had to deal with.
Yeah, I mean, just watching our freshman year, watching that COVID, and the past 4 years, we watched people get injured. We watched people have Friday nights taken away from them. As we were saying, there's nothing like it, and you don't know which one's going to be your last. You just want to go out and give it up your all every time.
I think it just makes you appreciate every moment out on the field even more. I mean, our season could be cut short next week. We don't know what happens, and you just got to go out there and enjoy every single moment.
He talked about the atmosphere, and I thought it was a great atmosphere Friday night at the home game. The fans were really into it, and they were nervous at halftime too. You could sense it a little bit, and again, not to boost him up too much, but how loud they got after the interception, because the fake punt really, I thought, could have changed the game, and you guys turned it around, but once you guys got the lead, they just really seemed to just want to jump on your guys' back and say, let's just take this. So talk about the crowd.
You know, our buddies are in charge of the student section over there, so we know they're always rocking over there, and, you know, our parents are always together, they're screaming, and our fans are, I think, the best in the area by far, and, you know, that makes the Friday nights even so much better.
Yeah, I just love Granville because, you know, every single fan there actually cares about the game and cares about the players, and shout out the deck, our student section, they always have our back no matter what.
That's cool to have. All right, as we wrap up, you guys, and I appreciate you staying a little bit longer than what I initially asked you to, but we do that in the media. We do lie every once in a while. It happens. So, okay, so one game down, you've got 9 to go. If you had to tell either Beckett or some other players that you know you're going to rely on for different roles, different things in the season, how do you focus game to game, but also make them understand that it's a long process, but what you have to do each time is critical to our success? So how do you do that with maybe not, by trying not to overwhelm them, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, football's a grind. You got to be locked in every moment or something will slip. And I don't know, just forming a connection with him just so that we really trust each other, I feel like, is the biggest thing. Because he's going to trust me, I'll trust him, we're going to get through it together.
And before you answer, because, again, I go back to line play, because you are going to play bigger teams. That I'm not going to say are going to be more physical, but they're just going to be bigger. So how do you keep them engaged, even if it starts out slowly like it did Friday night because of physicality? How do you keep them focused and knowing they can turn the corner?
I think our team, even last game at halftime, we have a junior, Beckett Long, came in at halftime, started screaming at everybody, getting us locked in. I mean, it shows we have juniors, we have sophomores that are really being leaders on our team, and I think our leadership will win us some games.
And I think you're pretty confident in this leadership.
I'm very confident in this group. It's like you enjoy going to practice, because I know you know, these guys take it, they care and they take it serious, and they're not, like they said, they're not in it for themselves, they're in it for our group, for each other, just like we want to win for them, they want to win for us, they want to win for each other. And it's cool. It's I have a lot of faith in this group because of that, what you're talking about, the leadership and just the focus and the attention to detail that it takes to win. So and we'll do those things, and I think we'll find ourselves on the right side more times than not.
He has faith in you guys. How much faith do you have in this coaching staff?
A lot.
I don't know if we'll give him that much credit.
That's a senior talking I did want to add one more thing to you, Coach, because I know you had a couple additions to the coaching staff, and I wanted to focus on was Heath Hinton, because I know Coach Ron Hinton's gotten back into the deal at his alma mater, and Amanda is helping out. So a guy like that that's been at several different schools and has had success, how much does that help?
It's great. We added him and Tate Bordelick, who was the offensive coordinator at Newark Catholic last year. Those are two huge additions. You know, just like we were talking during the break about our huddle sideline stuff, just having those guys in there talking to with Coach Bolden, our defensive coordinator, and Coach Becker, who helps me run the offense, and having those guys kind of, you know, man that tent and coach these guys in between plays is invaluable. So, and we're going to keep getting better at that. And I think she's going to continue to give us an edge, and that's all we're looking for, is finding ways to give us the best chance to win. So, and Heath's awesome. He's been great. He obviously was a successful head coach, and coming here has been great. And then, like I said, Tate's been awesome too. So, and then we had everybody else back. So it's we have a really good, like, I don't know what the right word is, but like aura around our team, the coaches, the players, we all. It's a really good group to be around.
Speaking of aura, I've let food get cold on these guys, and
looking at those nachos for
I, you know, that's a risk I took, and I don't know that I'd ever do it again. But guys, I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Congratulations on the win, week one, and good luck against Clear Fork coming up.
Thank you.
We'll wrap up this edition of the Licking County Locker Room after our final timeout here on Gate 98.7.
Built upon a solid foundation of cast iron and steel, the Kubota LO1 series is part of our tractor lineup, rated number one in durability and owner experience. They feature powerful Kubota diesel engines and easy operation. The durable Kubota LO1 series. Talk to your local Kubota dealer today to schedule a demo. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Visit Lashley Tractor Sales in Zanesville or online at LashleyTractor.com. Searching for a treasure? A special trading card? How about a video game? Buckeye Games and Flea Market is the place to visit. The video game and toy section will shock you. Visit the large flea market in the back, where you'll find many vendors. You're sure to find that special treasure. New items daily. Shop early for Christmas at Buckeye Games and Flea Market, 857 South 30th Street in Heath. Open 7 days a week.
Desserts Bakery, for over 8 years, serving 35 flavors of cupcakes, cookies, buckeyes, cake pops, donuts, and more. Order your custom cakes from Desserts Bakery for any occasion. 381 South 30th Street in Heath, directly across from Wyand Avenue. Life is sweeter with desserts.
Designer Jewelers is excited to announce their new fashion line. Evocateur comes to life with vivid colors, sleek modern designs, stunning prints, and abstract watercolors. The Evocateur line at Hughes Designer Jewelers is 100% American made, women owned, and handcrafted by art driven jewelers. Cups, necklaces, and earrings hand gilded with 22 karat gold leaf. With so many options, you'll find the perfect piece. Visit Hughes Designer Jewelers, the place for unique, quality jewelry in downtown Newark.
All aboard! Stein Brewing Company in Newark is now Ship Brothers Brewing. Your cruise begins with a stop at the Beer Wall. Yes, Beer Wall! 36 taps lined up for you to tease your taste buds. Excite your palate with delectable, mouth-watering appetizers. And that's just the beginning. Our entrees swirl around the taste buds, sending messages of extreme pleasure to your brain. Ship Brothers Brewing, a one-of-a-kind sensory destination.
Shamrock Printing is the county's best-kept secret. Their customer service and attention to detail makes every order perfect, whether celebrating your seniors or your school. And don't forget about them at your office. Their efficiency and pricing makes them the best choice there, too. Shamrock Printing can now print signage on all kinds of materials, like wood, metal, plastic, and canvas. Whatever you want printed, whatever you want it printed on. Shamrock Printing, South 3rd Street, Newark.
Now's the time to place your Varsity Jacket order. The earlier, the better. For more than 20 years, All-Star Embroidery in Newark has been Varsity Jacket headquarters for schools all over Licking County. Trust their experts to help you through the whole process, from sizing to application. All steps are handled in-house, which means faster turnaround and no surprise pricing. All-Star Embroidery, 21st Street in Newark, and online at allstarembroidery-ltd.com. allstarembroidery-ltd.com.
This is how we do every day. We be grinding, and if you want to come and text us,
if you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is Mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ag Council.
We're back talking high school football with the Licking County Locker Room, live at Ship Brothers Brewing in downtown Newark, here on KATE 98.7.
And as we wrap things up here from downtown Newark, want to remind you that next Friday night, this coming one, we'll have the Newark Wildcats and their home opener taking on another one of their rivals, the Mount Vernon Yellow Jackets, who, of course, are also coming to the Licking County League next year. Both teams coming in 1-0 should be a dandy. Last year it was down to the wire in Mount Vernon with Newark getting the victory. Hopefully they can do it again, and we'll be able to bring you that ball game Friday night from Whitefield with the pregame at 6:45 and kickoff at 7 o'clock. And then Monday back here for the Licking County Locker Room, we will be featuring the Newark Wildcats as well. So that'll do it for our first edition of the Licking County Locker Room here in 2023. Hope you enjoyed it, and hopefully you'll join us next Friday night and also Monday once again right here at 6:30. This is Brian Mays, hoping you all have a great Monday evening as you've been listening to the Licking County Locker Room on KATE 98.7.
This has been the Licking County Locker Room on KATE 98.7. Each week, we feature a local high school from Licking County. Brought to you by Ship Brothers Brewing, Shamrock Printing, All-Star Embroidery, Pugh's Designer Jewelers, Licking Memorial Health Systems, Lashley Tractor Sales, Desserts Bakery, Buckeye Games and Flea Market, Park Lanes, Wright Brothers Power, and the Toy Store. Tune in next week to the Licking County Locker Room here on KATE 98.7.